Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kewen. This week's guest is an ex-pro triathlete, an Iron Woman Australia champion, and more recently a Weapon Marathon and Ultra Marathon runner based in the beautiful Sunny Coast, Australia. Beth McKenzie grew up in California racing for the US, but moved to Australia in 2018, started her own clothing brand, Win Republic, and I believe this is when Beth began to focus solely on running. And that focus took her all the way through to winning UTA 100 in 2024. Beth is not only an incredibly inspiring athlete, but also a good friend and training partner. She gives me a good kick up the bum on the track. Beth, welcome to the Femi Pod. How are you?
I'm so good. I can't believe you dug up all that information. That's impressive, Lydia. Normally we just get to like get a few words in between breaths on the track. So it's good that we have some time to chat today. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, we're so honored to have you. And it is quite a funny thing to go and stalk your friends and find out all this information that you never knew. So yeah, welcome. It's awesome to have you here. And of course, my bestie Esther's with us.
Hello, everybody. So excited to chat to you, Beth.
You too.
So we came to kind of go right back to the start, Beth. Like I said, we don't really know a lot about your whole story and your journey, and came to understand really where you started with your relationship with sport and with triathlon in particular, and when that really started for you.
Yeah, I really didn't grow up as one of those kids that was super immersed or involved in sports. I was very sporty, so I did a lot of the typical East Coast USA sports, which were like field hockey, lacrosse. So I was into a lot of team sports, but not a lot of individual sports at all. I've never set foot on a track or clipped into a bike or did anything until I was 28 years old. And I was well into my 20s, just, you know, working. I was getting a degree as an educational psychologist after my undergrad. And one of my friends said, hey, why don't we run a marathon together? And I was at the time actually used to, this is like going way back, but I was like smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day, like super unhealthy, not anything like the little sporty middle-aged woman you see now. But I said, well, yeah, I'll give it a try. I always liked the running part of team sports. And so she was going to fly out to San Diego, California, where I was living for the Rock and Roll Marathon, and we were going to do that together. So I joined a local training club, like a track club, and every weekend, the run that they'd have the first time, I'm American, so it was miles. The first one was like 7 miles, and then the next one was like 9 miles, and it was my longest run ever each weekend, and I just thought it was the coolest thing, and I really enjoyed it right away. But I did the typical too much too soon thing, was not the smartest person in my 20s, as you can tell. I was, you know, smoking, not super healthy, and I ended up injured really quickly. And I actually had it was like a femoral neck stress fracture, like right away. So I didn't get to run that marathon. But in that time, my dad said, oh, this seems like a little extreme. Why don't you let me get you a bike? Because I was getting my master's in psychology, and that was my gift because he was a cyclist. And I was like, okay, biking sounds fun. I can do that while I'm healing from this stress fracture. And then, yeah, enter triathlon. So I did triathlon from 2008 all the way through about 2020, with some stops and starts to have a couple kids, things like that. I was an age group triathlete, and I really got into it really quickly. And I was always better at the running part of a triathlon than I was at the swim and bike, but I enjoyed just putting myself out there every day, trying to get better. I really loved the training. I loved the community more than anything, just finding this new group of healthy people that I could go and train with and do, you know, race destination vacations. And I just loved the whole atmosphere about all of triathlon, and got into that. And eventually, yeah, I got my pro card and took a leave of absence from my job as a psychologist to pursue triathlon professionally, and did that until about COVID retired me in 2020. So in 2020, my husband and I, he had been racing, my husband's name is Luke, he'd been racing triathlon since he was about, I think, 13. So that was his lifetime career, whereas I was more of like a late bloomer. And so he was ready to retire once, because COVID, we had all these races planned and they just kept getting canceled, canceled, canceled. And we thought, oh, maybe this is enough. And I did one more Ironman after that, but we just started focusing more on our business at that time. So I thought, hey, I could do running as a serious hobby. I'm not quite ready to like really retire. I was 38. No, how old? In 2020, I was 40. And I wasn't quite ready to fully retire, but I wanted to keep some competition in there. So I just focused more on marathon running and then eventually ultra marathons.
What a journey. That's so cool. I love hearing that you played lacrosse and also smoked cigarettes, because those two things are things that I've done as well in the past. But yes, we've learned from that, haven't we? But yeah, lacrosse was a cool sport. Incredible. Yeah.
Do they play lacrosse in New Zealand much?
They do. It's growing, but it was definitely not very popular when I was playing. Oh. So I was playing between the ages of like 13 and 16, and me and my two sisters were in like the New Zealand team, which isn't like,
wow,
it's not a big feat, don't worry, there's not that very many people competing, but yeah, we used to, yeah, it was a really cool sport, and I feel like, yeah, it gave you that community, and it was very fast paced, like quite different to some other sports, but you know, almost just hockey in the air and very yeah, a lot of sport.
And they do a lot of hockey in New Zealand, right? Lydia, did you play hockey? You did.
No, I didn't play hockey, but I grew up around it. Some of my best friends played quite at the high level, but it was too scary for me.
I don't think I made it to that level. I don't remember it being that scary, except for, yeah, the balls flying at your face, but you had all the mouth guards and stuff, so it was all right.
Yeah. It's definitely scary, yeah. No, I love hearing all about that. And how do you think sport has impacted you as a person you are today? I feel like we talk about this so much in Femi and, you know, all the amazing thing that sports does for women. How do you think sport has impacted you?
From like, sport has absolutely changed almost everything about my life, to the point that I feel like I've lived two lives. Like, until I was 28, like sort of like my life before sport. Yes, I was sporty, as I said, but like sports didn't run my life. It wasn't like I planned my day around sports, or I was had any huge goals I wanted to achieve. It was just more of like a recreational thing that I did. Whereas once I got into running and triathlon, it really became a central focus of my life, and not so much just finding something for me to focus on me, but it actually opened up my entire world. Now, everybody I come into contact with somehow, some way, through whether or not I'm running or working, my life revolves around sports now. So I have those sort of positive people in my life as well that have the same types of goals, are getting out there daily, trying to achieve things. And it's really cool to see that sort of development in your life, where I could have gone through a life sort of without sport and wondering what, you know, with those sliding doors moments, like what life would have looked like then. Like at one point I was nearly engaged to my university boyfriend, and we smoked cigarettes together, and he was not active. I mean, he played golf and stuff, and I think maybe I would jog like a mile or something down, you know, I don't really know what we did actually with our spare time besides going to the bar and hanging out with friends. But I often think of like, I wonder what my life would have looked like if we had gone down that path, you know. And luckily, I guess he broke up with me right when my friend asked me to run this marathon. So I was like, okay, whatever, you know, try something new. But had that not happened, I just wonder what my life would have looked like. I don't think it would have involved sport, but I don't think it would have been nearly as rich and fulfilling and taken me so many places around the world. Before I was 28, before I was 30, I think I was from Philadelphia, and I'd visited a lot of places in the US, but I'd been to Europe once during university when I studied in France, been to Mexico once or twice, and then maybe Canada. But other than that, I hadn't traveled the world. And now through triathlon, actually, I've been to 30 or 40 countries, many of them multiple times, and just had been able to see so much of the world that I never would have seen also, which has been really cool.
Yeah, so incredible. I find it funny how, yeah, you signed up to the marathon when he broke up with you. I feel like there's that story is so common. You know, women, like, or anyone will go through these breakups and then go and do these extravagant things, but it's obviously changed your life for the better. And
best
it is
thing ever.
Crazy to see the impact that sport can have on all of us, whether you're an elite athlete like yourself, or you are just working in the industry as well. And like, you've obviously built your own sporting business around, you know, triathlon and running as well. And it's just, it's really cool to see those people who, like, I remember growing up being like, I want running to be my profession, but the likelihood of being a professional runner is so low and it's so hard. So I guess I don't know if I really truly believe that would ever happen for me. And then I was able to go into coaching and obviously work for Nike, and then that kind of like all came to fruition, and I have been able to build my career around running like you have, but in a kind of different way to probably what I had imagined when I was younger. Yeah, it's awesome.
I think it is cool to see that there are other ways to build a life and a career around sports besides being an elite athlete, or like you are an elite athlete, and in some ways I am too, but you can have a career and a life that revolves around sports without being at the very top professional level, whether or not, yeah, you're coaching people or working for a company that's involved in sports, doing events, things like that. And that's something I probably never really considered when I was younger either. And I'm so happy that my life has taken me in that direction. I feel really fortunate.
When you were studying psychology, did you ever think about sports psychology, or were you kind of completely like not even connected to sport?
I was so disconnected from sport. It never crossed my mind. I was in school to be an educational psychologist. So a school psychologist where we did like diagnosis and assessment of kids with learning disabilities and autism and how to work with them in schools and work with their families and planning like that. So I didn't even think about sports psychology. Now looking back, I'm like, that would have been a great area of study.
I wondered, like, you, when I train with you, you have this real calmness about you, and it feels really at ease when I'm running with you.
But except then, when I'm falling down and breaking my phone. And
but as soon as we start, you're like, there's like a pit bull in you, and I can feel that competitiveness. And it's like these two completely different personalities that you carry, and I just really love that, because you feel like, it feels like you don't really necessarily, not that you don't care, but you're kind of just like, oh yeah, we're here to run and we're here to have fun, and then go time, and you're like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. But you know what, Lydia, you are the same way. And that's, I think, why we've loved training together recently. It's because we're both have a lot of balance in our lives. And I think we appreciate the importance of being easygoing in some ways, but then once, you know, the workout starts, like, it's all business. Like, neither of us ever skip a rep, you know, we finish what we started. We, like, there's a lot of that. And I love that consistency about you. And that's something that I think takes people a really long way. Like, I've always told myself, like, you know what, as long as you keep showing up, just show up every day. It doesn't matter if you have a B+ workout or a B- workout, it's better than having A+ workouts and then completely giving up. So I whenever a workout starts, I'm just there to finish it, even if sometimes it's, of course, there's times when you need to quit a workout, but in general, just give it what you have on that day, even if what you have isn't the absolute best. And yeah, I don't know.
Consistency is everything, eh? And like sometimes even pulling back a little bit, you're able to show up the next day and like continue to train. So like just listening to your body is so important. I've loved, and I was saying this before when we were just catching up, loved seeing your group trainings together in Noosa. What does that mean to you, like training with a squad and having women around you to push you?
It's really funny because I'm doing a 100K race this weekend, Tarawera in New Zealand. And going into it in my training plan is a lot of just solo running or just workouts that are planned just for me. But when the opportunity came to do some workouts with Lydia and some of the other girls, I realized that that's actually what's going to be the best for me, is putting myself not only in the environment where I'm going to push my own speed to the limits, but also just having that support from each other, I think is really, really motivating, to the point that like we were starting track workouts at 5:15 in the morning. It was a 45-minute drive for all of us. We're getting up, you know, basically in the threes just to run on the track together. But having each other there, like I know that I got some great sessions out of myself that I know I wouldn't have gotten had I not done them, and I feel that much more prepared for the race this weekend. And I was, you know, I'm 45, so I'm probably not getting that much faster, but I think I can hold on to my speed a little bit longer. And having the opportunity to do that gave me a lot more confidence to say, oh, wait, I still can run, you know, a 400 in 75 seconds or whatever it was that I hadn't really been pushing myself to do lately. And it gave me a little bit of confidence that maybe I do still have it. And I know I have the endurance, like I can go out and run all day. That's not the problem. But it's how quick can you go? I don't know.
You've got the speed too, Beth. You know what I'm going to say. I believe that you can get even faster. Yeah.
Lydia's going to pace me to a sub 17 5K.
Yes. And I really believe that you can do that. But it comes down to the confidence piece and knowing that you can do it. And you only gain that from actually putting yourself in that position to run that fast. And so I've loved seeing you push those speeds and surprising yourself and watching yourself surprise yourself reach them, because I know that you can do that. When you break down all your other times, your, what is it, 2:37 marathon time, if you look at that, you can definitely be running a sub 17 5K time. You just have to believe it and get yourself in the mindset to do it. So I'm so excited to get you there. But just understanding your training block for Tarawera, which is, like you said, this weekend, and running that 100K, what has been different about this training block, or how has it differed from training blocks in the past, and how are you feeling about it?
Ooh, this, I love talking about training. Sometimes I'll get on podcasts and people only ask me these huge overarching questions. And I'm like, no, I want to talk about the specifics. What are you doing? Because that's what a lot of times people want to know, how much do you run? What kind of workouts are you doing? And this training block has been great for me because, so in December, I ran a 60K in New Zealand also, Kepler, which is sort of like a mountain run. And I had told my coach my coach is Meg Roach. She is in the US. She's a brilliant woman, a great, amazing coach. But I had told her a couple months before Kepler, I said, look, I don't want to be 100% fit for Kepler. It's not my A race. Tarawera is, you know, it was about 10 weeks after Kepler. I said, I want to be on fire for Tarawera. So I went into Kepler and I had a pretty average race. But that's what I asked for, right? You know, we had been traveling a ton. We went to so many different countries and races just for work in the few months before Kepler. And I didn't have a chance to run mountains. I was running flat in Dubai and France and all these different places. So it was an 80% training block and I got an 80% result. And then after that, we really started focusing on just doing everything we could for me to be as prepared as I could in the start line. So yeah, typically I run average week in an 8 to 10 week build will be 130 to 140 kilometers a week. Mostly single run days, and a couple days I'll do a double run that's usually an incline treadmill run. So those are the real mental workouts, I think. And it's usually about 30 minutes at 15%. You just set it and forget it. And you're going so slow. I only cover about 4 kilometers in half an hour. So it doesn't really add to your mileage total as much as you'd like to see. I'm always tempted to just go out and run flat. But in the rest of the week, I usually have a long run, usually with some quality in it, a speed session like the ones I was doing with Lydia, which might be anywhere from, it's not usually super short reps, but often 1K reps or 10 minute tempos, those kinds of things. And then sometimes some hills as well, but a lot of easy running. I enjoy easy Ks, and I think that that's what gives you the platform on which you can build speed. And strides. Strides are really important as you get older. So I do my strides once or twice a week.
Strides are key. Yes, we love strides. We're all about strides at FME. What's your, just quickly, what's your favorite run of the week? What's the one that gets you the most excited about?
Ooh. Well, when the girls were in town, the Tuesday track session was definitely my favorite run. But I do really enjoy the long runs. I like preparing for them the night before. And we're in Noosa, so the terrain isn't that varied. So you often have to drive to a destination run. So I like planning out the route and figuring out, okay, this is where I can do a 15-minute effort, planning out my nutrition, and usually recruiting one or two unsuspecting souls to come along with me. And I you, love a good long run.
I will never forget the long run you and Ella recruited me for. It was like 35Ks. I think I said to you both, I'm keen for like 25 to 30, and got dragged into this 35K run, and it was hot. And I think you'd just come back from the US, so you had all this like US candy. And I like actually really appreciated the candy, because I'm like, if you're running that far, you have to have things to look forward to, you know? So like lollies over gels any day.
The lolly breaks. It's so fun.
You killed me.
Oh, well, you were just coming back from something, I remember. And I was like,
I think I was really burnt out. After that, I ended up having to take months off. Like,
oh, no, that's not good.
I remember you, Liz, after that, you were like, holy shit, that was like one of the hardest runs. So, yeah, you really put it to work.
Yeah. Well, we do. The terrain out here can be, it's not crazy vert or technical, but it's quite like, it's hard to explain, but the footing is just soft and it's hard. It's hard work.
Hard work, yeah. And what about all your like cross training? You do so much else, not just running. And I feel like that's paid off for you so much.
I think it's been huge for me the past couple of years. I used to do a lot more cycling cross training, and I should add that back in, but right now I am a bit time crunched. So it's mostly the running. And then Mondays I never run. It's always a rest day, but I usually do like a 75 minutes on the indoor bike trainer or outside on my bike. But about usually 4 to 5 days a week, I'm doing like this week. It's called Inferno HIIT Pilates. Sounds like some ridiculous workout class, but it is so great. It has so much core work and hip work and obliques and glutes and hamstrings. It's really, really good, I think, at helping prevent injuries, but also just giving you that solid foundation to, you know, that you can call upon when you're, say, 50 or 60 kilometers into an ultra race. You can still call upon your core and have that sort of inner strength there. So I think that's been really, really helpful for me, and also preventing injuries. And another bonus, just because you know how much I like friends, but all my friends go to this class. So it's a really great sort of community thing that we do. Even this morning, you know, 7:15, first I got the kids ready for school. Then Luke put them on the bus. I got to go to Pilates with my friends, and we had a quick coffee afterwards, and I was still, you know, ready to work by 9. So, yeah.
An amazing morning. Yeah. I've recently started Pilates as well, and yeah, I love it. It's really good. Nothing like it. Such a burn.
It's so good. And I've also added in HYROX training. Now, have you guys heard of HYROX? Oh, yeah. Lydia's going to do one too. So my husband and I are doing the doubles, the mixed doubles in HYROX. So I promised him as soon as January 1st hit in 2025, I'd start HYROX training, because we have one in Brisbane coming up in March, and then we're doing the World Championships in June in Chicago. So we've been doing twice a week, but I slack a little bit because I don't want to be – well, I don't slack, but I don't do super heavy stuff because I don't want to get too much muscle soreness for my runs. Right now, the running is really key, but after Tarawera, I might add in a little bit more heavy weights.
HYROX is just going crazy, hey? And it's insane. I feel like it is mostly those who have a really strong running base that are doing really well at it. But it's I feel also like the movements and the exercises that you have to do in HYROX are also like quite good for running. It's not like it's crazy different, like some movements you have to do in CrossFit, but it's wild how much it's just taken off. And your husband, Luke, he's like crushing it as well. He did so well in Auckland.
Yeah, he's loving it. And it's fun to see, because when we retired from triathlon, I had this fire in me to do all these things in running and just keep that as a really serious hobby. Whereas he had been a professional athlete all his life, like I said, and he just pretty much stopped doing everything. So he did a little bit of running, never went to the gym. And then after a couple of years, he saw how much fulfillment I was still getting out of sport. And even though he didn't want to do it that seriously and, you know, have to wake up and run 20K or do anything like that, he realized that he needed that sort of in his life to keep him motivated in all directions and also just feeling good about himself, not necessarily the way you look, but I think that sports have a lot to do with just our self-confidence in so many ways, like doing something for yourself that's focused on your wellness. If you just give that up, you're really telling yourself you don't care, you know, like. And I think that really impacted his well-being all around. So about, yeah, just over a year ago, he started training for High Rocks, and it's completely changed everything from our relationship to his mindset to his goals, how he feels about himself. He's just so much more confident and happy, and it's great to see his goals. So I've sort of just jumped in on his goal to help. But yeah, it's been really, really nice. I'm like so much happier now that he seems happier with himself and what he's trying to achieve.
Yeah, well, your range is crazy. I feel like you can do so many different things, but it's very impressive. And I think we talk about that all the time at FEMI as well. It's just like the actual performance results that you get is just like kind of a cherry on top. Like what you actually get from running and from movement is the gain in confidence, because you're like physically moving your body and achieving these goals and doing things you never thought you could do. And obviously the endorphins and the sweat and all of that helps with it as well.
Absolutely. It's I can't imagine my life without sport in it now in some way. And it doesn't mean that I always have to be competing, but it has to be something daily in some way, I think, in order for me to have what I consider like a complete life. So, you know, I do value just the fact that we can do that. I know not everybody can get out there and do something that's active. So I hope that that's something that we can do for the rest of our lives.
Definitely. And I also noticed, because I follow you on socials because you're very inspiring, but I noticed that you do a lot of saunas, and I love a sauna. Oh. I would just love to hear, you know, what got you into it and why you love doing it.
Why are you guys asking all the really good questions today? I'm like, this is the stuff I want to talk about. So I've always loved saunas just because that's a fun thing to do either by yourself to get some alone time or with friends to have a little social date. But recently, and my coach has a lot to do with this, there's been a lot of research and studies on the benefits of saunas for women, but for people in general as well. There is some evidence of increased like hemoglobin mass and red blood cells just from consistent heat training. So it doesn't have to be a sauna, but a traditional Finnish sauna is probably the best for that. But some people do it with hot tubs. Some people do it maybe with a steam room, that kind of thing. But studies have shown some results where there's the benefits that are consistent with like what you'd see with altitude training, but without having to go to altitude. So I call it poor man's altitude training. And that's just what we have accessible to us in Noosa. So I do it for that, but I also do it because saunas like make me feel really good. I love them. I love spending time there. And we are lucky in Noosa. There's a facility called TH7 that's so close to my house. So I can literally go right after a run before I shower. Just I'll rinse off there, obviously. Don't want to make a dirty sauna. But hop straight in the sauna and then be home and shower and not really miss any time of my day. But I do think that there is that benefit with the heat exposure. And I know you guys are familiar with like Dr. Stacy Sims and people like that. And she's super into saunas for women and the benefits that they give as you're aging as well. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of sauna and also red light therapy. And that's just because it's available at TH7. I don't know if I would drive an hour to go do red light therapy, but that's supposedly good, not only for your skin, but just anti-inflammation and general performance and well-being. So,
no, I agree. Yeah, I love saunas so much. Also, just the feeling after, I'm sure you know as well, like just feeling so like bliss following a sauna. I feel like it's really relaxing and good for your mind as well.
Yeah. So I've been doing 2 to 3 to 4, 20 to 30 minute saunas per week. And we'll see. I'm like at Tarawera, it's going to be, I'll see if it's been working. But pretty much for the past year, I've been consistent in saunas. And also I do the hyperbaric chamber at TH7, which is hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which makes it as if the atmospheric pressure is higher, so there's increased oxygen there. That's also supposed to be really good for healing, and I started doing that when I was having a lot of hamstring injuries, and actually haven't been injured since I've been doing that. It's hard to know, as always, what variables impact the actual results, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I try to do that as much as I can as well. But most people don't have access to that. I think if you can do anything, the heat therapy in some way, whether or not it's a really hot bath or a hot tub or a sauna, is a great way not only to maybe get a little extra performance benefit, but to get some time to yourself.
That's so epic. Yeah, I feel like you have all these like little magic pills that are helping you, you know, in all different ways, all these like the secret sauce helping you with your training. And I was thinking just before, like, I don't remember a time that you've been injured, and that's so amazing with how much you run and how much you train and do other things as well. And it just feels like everything is working for you, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've had periods in my life where I've been injured a lot, and I've had different things that have played, that's sort of the same things that have plagued me over the years, like my lower hamstrings, it's always sort of an issue, or my hips. But I've had this string now of over a year, knock on wood, when I haven't been injured, and it has coincided with me going to TH7, but I don't know if all that, you know, you just never know what variable is working. But I've been lucky with that, and also just to have the time and the resources to focus on it. I know that's not an easy thing to do, and even me, I'm just like sliding it in. I always sneak it in. I'm like, oh, just lunch break right now. Everyone's like, you're just hanging out in the sauna all day. I'm like, no, I promise I'm not.
No, we definitely want to talk about your weekly schedule and how busy you are very soon. But before we get there, you did mention aging and this process. And there's always kind of been this narrative that as we age, we need to like slow down. And I was saying to someone the other day, I remember my grandma, when she would exercise, she would go to the pool and do like aqua aerobics or something. And it was like weightless exercise. And I just think it's the opposite to what you should be doing as you're aging, right? You should be keeping weight in your bones to keep them healthy. But there is this kind of narrative that we should like remove the impact and remove the high intensity and remove anything that's really hard as we age. But it's just, I find you so inspiring, not that you're old at all, but just because you're like a step ahead of me,
yeah,
to be able to watch you and see what you're doing and achieving and being like, okay, like we can do this as women. How do you kind of talk yourself through that narrative, and like, what is that secret sauce?
Yeah, it is interesting because for me, I also look at certain women that are maybe just a little bit older than me, and I'm like, okay, I need to get rid of my excuses, right? You look at Lisa Waitman and people like that. And my marathon coach was Melindy Elmore, who's also, she was, I think, ninth in, not the past Olympics, but the one right before that. But she also has two kids. She's my age. And some of these women running these crazy fast marathon times that are like, you know, 15 minutes faster than I'd be running. And I'm like, if they can do that, you know, there must be some way. And I think part of it is just, I think as you get older, it is important to be kind to yourself. So to not always be hard on yourself if there's a time you can't do or something you may not think that you can achieve, but there's always something else. So I had given like the marathon a good shot 2 years ago. I ran my fastest marathon at 42, which is great, like 2:37. That was amazing. But I did find that I was like starting to get injured a little bit more, and I wasn't I didn't think I was going to get much faster. It doesn't mean that I wouldn't have, but I thought, you know what, maybe there's something else I can do, something else I can explore before it's too late or whatever. So I did, that's when I was like, let me just try an ultra marathon and see how that goes. And I think especially in ultras, we're going to find that women well into their 40s are going to be doing really, really well. They just haven't really done it yet. And ultras are really growing, and women in particular, I think, will hit their peak in ultras 37 plus. Like, I don't know exactly what the ceiling is yet. It would be cool to see. I think I'm still obviously going to be probably the oldest woman in the elite, or I don't even know if they have an elite category, but given an elite start at Tarawera. But I don't think that really is a detriment to me yet. I think some of the things that can help you in an ultra are experience. And I've got tons of experience, not necessarily in ultra running, but through Ironman marathons. You know, I know what it's like to train to be racing for 6 hours doing a swim and bike and then get off and have to run a marathon in the heat of the day. So I'm not new to that 6-7 hour mark. And I think that experience and can really help me. I also think that as we get older, we have a lot more mental tenacity and resilience that you've just built through life experiences. And I'll be standing next to a few women on the start line that I know they are faster runners than I am. I know they're more talented runners than I am. But when it hits 75 kilometers, I think that I have the mental strength and tenacity. And that's one of the most important things in an ultra. I mean, physical strength is like maybe 60% of an ultra, but there's a lot more that goes into it than that. So it's kind of fun to see. And I'm looking forward to seeing other people explore that as well as they're getting older. And I think some of the current ultra runners will just continue to do it until they're our age, my age, not your age, sorry.
But we're all one. So I have so many questions off the back of that. I think the mindset thing is a huge piece, and that's definitely what I see in you when you're training. And like, even when I'm not there and I just see what you do when you post on Instagram and some of those massive long runs, I know where you're running and I know how freaking hard that is. And I'm like, geez, Beth has just the mental strength that I've just never seen in anyone really. It's going to be so amazing to see you out there racing on Saturday and bringing that forward. I also think that the way that you've trained and what I've seen you do over the last few months is going to pay off so much, not just for, I guess, your speed over different distances, but also with your age. I think doing that really high intensity workout and those short, fast reps, I personally think that's so good for your body. And I do think a lot of ultra runners, no matter what age, they tend to steer away from some of that short, fast stuff. And I'm just really excited for you to be able to lean into that place, because I personally think pushing yourself through 1K reps and trying to hold a certain distance when you feel like shit is so mentally hard, and you have to overcome those mental barriers. And even on the track, even if it's only a 30 or 40 minute workout, I think the mental strength you gain from some of those sessions will really pay off when it comes to that long stuff as well. So I think there's like, I'm just so stoked for the prep that you've had and to be able to see you go and make the most of it.
I'm so excited too, only because also I think with my age, I know that getting to a start line is something you can never take for granted, because there's so many start lines, I'm sure with all of us, that we haven't actually gotten to, whether or not it was sickness or life events or injury, something that prevents you from getting there. So just to actually have had a solid training block to give yourself the opportunity to start that race is like, I'm so stoked. Like, I'm like, I don't really have, you know, unless actually my daughter woke up this morning. She's like, Mom, I got a sore throat and a cough. And I'm, you know, part of you wants to be like, stay away. But like, barring sickness and stuff, which could still happen now, like, I feel really fortunate to be in this position and just like see what happens on race day. It'll be really exciting.
So excited to watch you. Mm-hmm. And obviously, yeah, you've had a lot of success in your sporting career, but then also winning the UTA. Like, how do you handle, like, I know your mental strength is obviously there, but how do you handle the pressure having, you know, so much success in your career behind you leading into another big race?
Ooh, this race is really interesting because I was last year at Tarawera, it was my first 100 kilometer race, and I was second to Ruth Croft, who's like, well, she was second at UTMB this year, so she's arguably like second in the world in some races. And I was a distant second, let me tell you. I think it was like 20, 25 minutes behind, but actually in 100K, that's not that far. And I took that and I saw the places where I really lost time and was able to just work on those before I did UTA. And then in UTA, yeah, I was able to win that. But it was the best day ever. I loved it so much. I almost don't want to go back to UTA because I want to leave that sort of as a wonderful moment in time. But this year at Tarawera, the field is super, super deep because it's a golden ticket race. So there's two tickets for Western States Endurance Run, which is like the biggest 100-mile race in the world. Or maybe not the biggest, one of the biggest. And that's in June. So women are coming from all over the world to race it. So the field is really deep. I'm only ranked like, I think 10th or 12th out of the whole field. So I think it's a really cool opportunity to just be able, I haven't ever really raced the best in the world, except for like one, like a one-off, like a Ruth Croft kind of thing. So to have like a whole pack of them is going to be just really cool dynamics and fun. And, you know, I don't know if I'll be there in the end with them, but if I could pull out a top five in this field, that would be incredible. Top 10 would still be really good. So it's just going to be fun to see how it all plays out, I guess.
You can do it, Beth. You definitely can. And we're so excited for that. And I think what I love the most about you and your kind of approach to running is how much you celebrate other women. I think that's so cool. Like, I remember we'd finish reps and you would just always come in and be like, oh my God, that was so fast. Good on you. Like, you'll have my time. You'll like be celebrating me. And I just don't think you get that often, particularly in an elite training atmosphere. Like, it's usually quite competitive and it's usually like, all we want to do is beat the person next to us. But I can just see you wherever you come on Saturday, you're going to be celebrating everyone else out there too, which is so special.
Absolutely. I'm in the realm, but I'm still in awe of all the people that I get to run with and stuff. And I never was an elite runner. So I never had that, even when you say that, like, oh, people don't usually build themselves up at the end, or build each other up at the end of reps. I'm like, they don't. I didn't know that wasn't a thing, but I'm just always in awe of the things that my friends can do and that I'm part of that. And I felt that when I was in triathlon too. And maybe it's because I wasn't a lifelong athlete, but just sort of that I was like, wow, how did I get here? I'm so lucky to be here. And look at this person. They're so amazing. And I think that I'm amazing too, but even in the moment, I'm just more in awe of what other people can do. And I really love seeing people flourish and getting the most out of themselves. And when I, even looking back on triathlon now, I couldn't finish an Iron. I mean, I could finish an Ironman tomorrow, but it'd take a really long time. But I look back on what I did and took for granted and think that was really incredible. Like I finished 28 Ironmans, you know, but at the time that was just what I did, no big deal. And looking back, I'm like, that was epic. I was a pretty good athlete. That's really cool, you know? So I don't know. It didn't really answer your question. Sorry. Just talking around things. But I get a lot of joy from other people as well and seeing them succeed. And I think everyone does. It just depends on how that comes out, I guess.
It's just an amazing trait to have, I think, as an athlete. Most athletes, I believe, are quite self-centered. And that's fine because you have to be to get to that level in a way. But it's seeing those athletes.
And I'm self-centered as well.
Yeah, but also you're there to celebrate other people and inspire other people. And you know that responsibility that you carry. And I think that's really special. Before you go, we do just want to talk to you about your chaotic busy life, because you aren't just an elite athlete. You are a mother of two beautiful young daughters, and you obviously have your business as well. Like, how do you kind of keep that all going and keep it all together?
Right now it is more hectic than usual, because our daughters are 7 and 10 now, and they are, I thought they'd be runners, you know, it's like, you're going to be a little triathlete or a little runner, but they're both super into dance. So, and they're both doing 8 to 10 hours of dance a week. So managing their dance schedule right now is sort of my, that's the puzzle piece I need to figure out. But yeah, I think over time we've built systems that support themselves pretty easily. And I think you have to just do what works for you and your family and not always have super high expectations. Like, I make the same 4 dinners every week, and then Fridays we go out, because I don't have time to like go research a new recipe or do something like that. But yeah, I mean, most days we just get up really early and go and train. We have a treadmill and things downstairs so that one of the parents can be home if we need, while the other one goes and trains, and then full day at work. And just, dealing with kids' schedules. I just feel like it's normal parent stuff. I'm lucky that with running, it doesn't take as much time as it does I don't get to do everything that a professional runner does, as far as, you know, just when I go to the track and, you know, you see these college or university teams and they go there and they're there for like 45 minutes before they even start a workout. Like, for us, it's like 2 minutes. Then we're working out, then we're done, then we're driving home, then we're getting the kids ready for school, then we're, you know, going to work, doing all those things. But it's just regular life, you know. I think at a certain point I have given up being not being an elite athlete in performance, but just in mindset of my daily life. My running is just a part of what I do, and we've built it into our lives. We're all lucky to have a lot of family support as well. So my husband's parents help us a lot with the kids. So if we go this weekend, I'm going to Tarawera, and the kids just went back to school. So we don't want to take them out of school or have them miss dance. So they'll stay here with Luke's parents. So we're really fortunate to have a support system as well. I think anybody who kind of, like, if you look at them and they're like, oh yeah, I do it all, they're just full of shit, because nobody does it all. Seriously, nobody does it all. I don't do it all. My husband does so much. Luke's really, really helpful with helping with the kids' schedules, driving them around, and we're very much 50-50 in everything. And it's not a this for that. We just try to help each other out, because we know that if we both get to work on our own goals as well, that we'll be better parents and better people. And I think we're setting good examples for our kids. Like, you know, my life doesn't revolve around my kids. Sure, I want to give them every single opportunity, but I'm not going to forego my own goals just to drive them to the aqua park. Like, I'm going to find another way to get it done, you know? So,
yes, that's what I love to hear, because I feel like most people feel this pressure to, like, put their children first and, like, sacrifice their own physical and mental health to just kind of get their child on their way. But it's like, well, actually, if you look after yourself as best as possible, then your children are going to get the best version of you each and every single day, you know?
Yeah. And they get that version of you, but then they also, I hope, grow up thinking, you know, when my kids are 30, I don't want them thinking, okay, when I have kids, I've got to give up all my own life goals and life's over. I want them still reaching after their goals, whether or not it's in career or sports or whatever, and making sure that their children are happy and loved and fulfilled and get to do everything they want to do, but also that that doesn't come at the expense of mom achieving her own things. And I think that's what I want them to be when they're older. So I just want to demonstrate that to them as well.
Oh, definitely. You can't underestimate the power of you seeing your parents doing hard things. And I just love that video that went viral on your Instagram of your girls yelling at you when you're racing 5Ks.
Hurry up, mom!
Hurry up.
They're just yelling at me, hurry up. I'm like, what? They've got very high expectations.
Actually, did that help? Like, how did that make you feel when you were running? Did you run faster?
I looked over at my daughter. I was like, wow, I'm running fast already. I think they it's funny because they see some races, like, you know, an ultra or something where, yeah, I might be first, second or third, and they think that's great. But then they don't realize that if I go to a race like a 5K with all of the Australia's best middle distance runners, that I am not going to be first, second or third, but I could still have a really good performance for me. So I think some of that was them figuring out, okay, mom's in this race. I was like, I just felt privileged to be in this race because it's the Noosa Bolt 5K, which is, it's a big deal in town. And all the really fast girls half my age were running. And I was just like, yep, I'm still in it, still going for it. And I ran pretty well, but sure, I was 2 minutes back probably from the winner. So my kids were just distraught. They thought that I was being dropped. And they're like, mom, Luke told me afterwards, he's like, Wynn started crying. And she said, why is mom coming last? And he's like, well, first of all, she's not coming last. See, there's three or four girls behind her. And then I actually caught a few more, which was good. But they were like actually like emotionally distraught over the fact that I got dropped from the front pack. So also, you know, that's a good experience for them learning, yeah, you may not win every race, but did you find something that was a win for you? And for me, it was a win. I was still under 18 minutes. I thought I was doing well. So
it's funny. There's like that saying about like, make, you know, trying to encourage your kids not to win all the time when they're like young, talented, naturally talented athletes. It's like, you don't want to win all the time because it's like not good for them and if they don't learn how to lose. But for you, it's like your kids need to learn how to see mum lose or mum not win, because you are usually on the podium.
They're like, if she's not winning, something's wrong. I'm like, yeah. But then it was cool afterwards to explain to them, like, say, I was like, oh, do you see these girls who were winning? I was like, those are the best runners in Australia and they're half mum's age. So,
yeah.
And they're like, wow, okay, cool.
Oh, that's so cool. I honestly feel like your girls are very, very lucky to have you as a mom and to be able to see both you and Luke, you know, working so hard for chasing goals that you, you know, these goals that you set yourselves and achieving them. It's really amazing. And yeah, I'm excited to see them grow up. And I was a dancer when I was their age. So
really?
I feel their love.
What kind of dance did you do?
I did ballet for 10 years.
Oh, yeah. And you probably learned a lot through ballet too about dedication and discipline. Even just not learning about failure, but like my kids do ballet exams and things where they learn, you know, that maybe they're not the top in the class and how, what they have to do to achieve that next step.
Definitely. Yes. Hmm. All forms of sport for young girls is what we truly believe in at FME. And it's awesome to see your girls in it. And also seeing your TikTok dancers on Instagram, also great.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. It's been an absolute honor having you here and chatting with you ahead of your race this weekend. And we will be cheering from you, hopefully in physical form. I would love to be there to cheer for you, but if not, we'll be yelling for you from afar. And yeah, we believe in you. You can do this.
Oh no, I'm so excited. It's been so much fun talking to you guys. We have to do it again sometime too, because I feel like there's more just like women's topics we can talk about too. Less about me, more about, you know, perimenopause and just all kinds of things. So
yes, we can get into the science of training. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Good luck, Dee.
So thanks, Esther.
Yay.
Thanks, gals.
Thank you.